Go to thecognitiverampage.com. Keep fueling the change. Help continue to allow this to happen. None of this would happen without you and your love and your support. Love you.
The Cognitive Rampage, a scientific approach to self-discovery, change, and life optimization, is now available on Amazon. What I do in the book is I fuse the latest research from the cognitive, behavioral, social, environmental, and biological sciences. It's not just motivational fluff and wordplay. Now, I do talk about my own story, so there's some kind of inspiration in there, but I'm not just spinning words and hyping you up with motivational fluff. Whether you need a life change, simply enjoy self-exploration and optimization, want to discover new hidden passions, or reduce the life-altering effects of toil, anxiety, depression, all of those issues, this book is for you. This book is not a cookie-cutter method of steps to follow. You'll customize the scientific framework with your own personal beliefs to build your authentic change. That way you assimilate it faster. It's not just copying my beliefs and telling you step one, step two. These will come from your beliefs as how you extend and build the foundation upon this framework. You'll use this framework throughout your whole life, through every change, and through every age. These are not empty words of motivational spin. This book is an experience. The Cognitive Rampage is based in science and is built from your beliefs. It's a path to help you unleash your desired change. You can apply this method on your own with no harmful side effects. And we are live. Welcome to the Cognitive Rampage podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you are living your Cognitive Rampage. Whew. Oh, I needed that exhale. It has been quite a day or two, to be honest with you. Patricia and I have left the beach. It's been fun over there in our little beach chateau. I prefer that word. We've moved sort of back to the suburb world, but not so much. Still kind of out in the woods, though. But yeah, I can tell you, you know, being, you could call us medium minimalists, right? Instead of a full-on minimalist, I should say medium minimalist. Say that five times fast, even three. But, you know, it doesn't take us long to pack up and move and head somewhere else. And there's a real freedom in that for sure. And, you know, I can tell you there's also some freedom or grounding in roots as well. You know, I've been on the run, been a rambling man for the last, I don't know, 2-3 years, something like that. And, you know, it feels good to kind of lay up at least some shallow roots, some palm tree type roots for this one. But I don't know. There's, you know, there's no perfect life. You know, my mom likes to remind me often. Love you, mama. And, you know, there really isn't, right? The acceptance of the life, you know, I can tell you I've rode both sides, right? Being grounded per se in a place where you do feel caged in certain ways, right? In certain angles, right? It can also be a mind frame that you approach it with. But I've also lived the other side, you know, free of stuff or anchors of having things, and traveled pretty quickly to a few different places, kind of seeing that. And, you know, mama, I think you're right. There is no perfect life, whether that's the one on the road in freedom or, you know, grounded in roots. But you know, I'm definitely no one to tell anyone how you should live at all. I wouldn't should on myself like that. But the fact that we can choose, at least where I live, not everyone can, which I'm grateful for, but the fact we can choose is a beautiful thing. And, you know, I can tell you this, everywhere I went where I thought I wanted to be, possibly with roots forever, I met somebody that couldn't wait to get the hell out. Just about anywhere I've traveled, I've done that. And, you know, they have the same restaurants there, the same places. You know, a couple other places, I'm sure they don't, right? There's probably that getaway place. I've done a few podcasts and often talked about if there's that place you've always dreamed about going or want to retire to one day or something, why waste your time? That life can be taken from you at any second. So go now, you know, and you know, I like Patricia's advice, which is go now, because even if it doesn't work out or it isn't, at least A, you'll know, and B, you'll just be right back where you were. I like that advice. And so we've been kind of doing that. I don't know if you do that or if you choose to do that, but I can also tell you don't get too caught up in what it may look like on the other side. Whether, you know, you're a rambling man like me or rambling woman or any Z after that, but Or if you're a roots person, right, it fits you. But I would certainly question or tell you to try the other side too. And you can. You can certainly find ways to do that. But certainly try the other side at least, right? Because then you can find that happy median. And at least you will know. It's amazing how I built up a life beachside for a while and what that may be like. And it's been fun, frankly. It was on my bucket list. I've checked a few things, actually, side note, off the bucket list here lately. And living by the beach in love was one of those things. And check. Check. I prefer, if I'm going to do a list of some kind, I prefer it be a list of, well, I don't even like the bucket list of just things you'd like to experience, you know, things you'd like to try, even a way you'd like to live, etc. You know, you can do any of that. And well, back in, well, the edge of suburbia, we are surrounded by woods. So there's some part of me that needs to be in nature. Did the water for a while, do the woods for a while. And, you know, there's pros and cons to each side, to each place you live. But like I said, be careful as you stare a gaze yonder and look at another life and or a different way of life, whether you're, you know, wish you could just pick up and go, right? Or wish you could put down some roots because you can make some bad decisions trying to get there, right? You quickly want to put up some roots and maybe stick yourself with a bad relationship, right? Or a bad mortgage. And be careful about the rambling too. You know, you sacrifice a lot of things. I can tell you what I have missed most, being a rambling man. I can tell you that what I've missed most are my friends. What I've missed most are the fellas that I went to high school with and played football with, and my family as well. You know, those two kind of go hand in hand for me. But I talk to my mama often, as a good boy should, and my brother and I communicate, you know, and we speak, and those things are necessary, you know. And so I missed my family, but my friends are a different kind of connection. It's a love connection. And I can tell you this, that great minds such as Dr. Gabor Mate and others that have leaned toward the idea of us being not socially connected as being, well, the foundation or catalyst for many problems, even issues such as addiction, right? And I can speak to this and tell you that in my personal experience of rambling and writing and driving and meeting random people and hanging out with those for a while, for me, it certainly has an effect. And I miss that. I miss being able to see my boy Juan and Mike and especially my boy Allie too, guys that I went to high school with, kind of, you know, football guys, some guys, different scene guys, right? Greg Harris, shout out to you too, brother. You know, I miss being a part of that, right? And that's something you get, you know, when you ramble like that. And on the other side, you know, I've had great experiences and got to live wherever I wanted to. I felt like, you know, hey, I've always wanted to live there. You know what? Forget it. Let's just break the lease, pay that thing off, pack it up. There's not that much stuff and let's go for it, you know? And, you know, you can miss a lot of opportunities as well as create opportunities living that way, you know. And a big shout out to everybody watching live. Carrie Pels, man, I hope your journey out to Colorado serves you well, my brother. It's really good to see you following your heart like that, man. And a big shout out to Kyle Copen, man. Good to see you. I hope you're doing okay, brother. Jeremy Russell, a vocal member of the Tribe of Change, man. And Andy Nelson, congratulations on more days just being you, brother. More days just being you. And hi, Valerie. Hey, Steve Stone, man. I miss you very much, brother. Thank you for the text today, my friend. Really do miss you and how much you, well, I mean, you were a catalyst to this podcast, brother. It was randomly how we met through our friend Ronye, right? And who knows, it would be so many years later, brother, where we'd still be trying to do podcasts and things like that, right? It's cool how life works. And, you know, thank you all for joining and watching live. And those of you that have watched for a long time and tuned in as well. And those that listen to the podcast, you know, most of our listenership comes from the iTunes side of the podcast. We actually got ranked, I think it was number 10 in alternative health podcasts. I purposefully put alternative health as the category, or as opposed to all the life development categories, etc., because I kind of saw the way I was coming at life when I started, right, as being an alternative life health position or angle or view, you know. And man, I love it when I start rambling, I get off. But you know, I do, you do miss things. You do create more opportunities and even miss opportunities, right? It's who knows really. I mean, when we think we can see the opportunities and the turns or an offers that come from others, and maybe those are easier to see, right? The job offer or some offer of a relationship, right? That these look like opportunities to do things, a financial investment, maybe something like that. These are different ways we see opportunities from others. And we can also create our opportunities. I write a lot about that on the back end of the Cognitive Rampage, about creating your own experiences, because opportunities spawn through experience when you are with someone new and somewhere new or trying something new. These are the portals, if you will, to creating those experiences that give you opportunities, right? So we may see those easy to describe as I did earlier, those opportunities. But when we create our own experiences, when we follow those things that make us enthusiastic, right? Or we follow those things that interest us even just a little bit, and we gain competence in those things through experience and find ourselves to be enthusiastic about things. When we are creating those experiences, again, be that travel or even throwing down roots, I'm not being biased toward one or the other, right? It's to the individual, you know, but I'm talking about, you know, giving both sides that experience. But when we create our own experiences, then we're creating our own opportunities as opposed to waiting for someone else to hand them, notice us, right? Or offer us those opportunities. And in both lives that you choose, whether it's Roots or Ramblin', you know, that's the name of a book or a movie, right? Roots or Ramblin'. You can find and create those opportunities on your own. And especially creating opportunities with interaction with other people. Again, you gain those when you're rambling, but when you got the roots, you maintain those with those you've come up with, or which I'm telling you from my personal experience are and have been influential in my mental health, even my physical health, you know, and not being a part of those things sometimes. And looking across the fence on the other side, right? You meet all kinds of lovely, wonderful, strange, even mean individuals in those experiences, right? Or maybe they're just having a bad day, right? But, you know, in those journeys, you know, that you're taking those, I mean, what we choose, really, these are our journeys, right? What you choose to do, whether you make this choice or that choice, you know, these are our journeys. Our journeys are really the steps of our choices. Nothing more than that when you really look at them, right? The journey that we're on, it's the steps we take, but truly it's the choices that we make that create that journey. And, you know, frankly, that's why in the middle of the book of my book, when I talk about the life philosophy and you build that out, the way we make choices is by a philosophy. And you either do that just quickly, what you may believe to be instinctually, but you're doing that because you have philosophies that are based in certain beliefs, right? So if we want to change how we make choices, right, we can't simply just say, all right, I'm going to choose differently. We have to go deeper, right? That's the first part of the book, right? Doing RSA, rational self-analysis. But those philosophies that we live by is how we make choices. This is why what philosophies you live by are so important and shape the journey that become your choices, right? Your choices are the paths to those experiences. No matter what side, again, that's on, whether it's Roots or Ramblin'. And I think I'm going to have to change the name of the podcast from Roots to Ramblin', right? And the reason I did title it What You Deserve is because this is, again, a two-sided line. This, again, is something that can be good and bad for us, right? Because, sure, you ask any meme maker, relationship love specialist on Instagram or social media, right, is to what? When we concern love, right, is to know what you're worth and know what you deserve. You know, I have to be frank, we don't really deserve anything. Not even tomorrow's breath or something at work or a job. Says who? You? Us? Our philosophies, our beliefs, right? So the idea of know what you deserve, I mean, what might that be? right? If you look at that from a relationship standpoint, a professional standpoint, which all link back to the foundation of your mental standpoint, right? That belief of what you deserve. If I deserve better. Now, look, if you're getting the shit kicked out of you, you're getting abused. That's a clinical term, by the way, shit kicked out of you. If you're getting abused or you're in these kind of relationships, yes, then read those memes and follow them, right? Know what you're worth and what you deserve and change those things. But if we take that too far, the other side of what we deserve, do we ever find the happiness and that fulfillment? Do we actually ever get there? Because if we constantly believe we deserve better based on our own belief and nothing else, because I promise you, as Dr. Albert Ellis would follow me, life isn't fair. And if we have a belief that life should be fair, this is irrational just in its own cognitive understanding, right? So what we deserve this because of our hard work, says who? The constructs we've raised in and we were born into, that if you do this, you get this, if you do this, right? These are behavior patterns that also influence and shape and build the constructs and the social lives we lead today, right? So what do I deserve? If you take that so far into your head about what you think you deserve, you can run yourself rampant. You can run yourself rampant in indecision. Lost in indecision, toil, as I've spoke about and write about extensively, right? Toil is where the depression, the anxiety, this is where it begins generally, because we have to make a choice or we're not sure. We're feeling like we need to make a choice, right? I would tell you, you're thinking you need to. But in this toil is where we find those symptoms that we like to call mental health diagnoses, right? Because we typically have to choose. Do I want to live there, right? Do I want to live over there? Do I want to work here? Do I want to be in this relationship? Do I want this friend, right? Cut your dead weight, which is something it's so rude, right? You can have a friend for 15 years, they hit a shit spot and you go, well, cut the dead weight this year, right? As if you're not adding weight to anybody else's lives, all right? Left field coming back, right? But the idea of what we deserve can run you the other side. We can begin to walk around, become arrogant. We can become conceited to a sin about what we deserve. And so careful as you talk to yourself, right? As I love to say, right? Become an observer of your thoughts, not a reactor. And as Leo loves to say, just because you think it, it doesn't make it so, and feelings aren't facts, right? So if we are willing to question those things, but also question ideas like what we deserve, right? Or what life do we deserve? I should be doing this, or I could be doing that. It's hard. It's hard when you're raised, if you've been told when you were young how special you are, right? To kind of find that happy median, to find the special in yourself, because without that, it can become difficult, right? But lose the expectation and understand that everyone is just like you, right? We find these back and forths in so many philosophies that influence our lives and decisions that we make, you know? And I don't know. And one of my philosophies that I love and have worked out, right, is try to be kind to others. The very simple thing, treat others as you want to be treated. I don't like that statement. It's irrational. If I treat others as I want to be treated, well, what if I'm treating myself like shit? Then I may accept others treating me like shit, right? That's not what you deserve. You see how that goes back and forth, right? We can use it, right? I guess what I'm talking about is the conundrum of life on so many episodes. The two-step, right? The one-step, two-step. We're on this side of what we deserve and on this side of what we deserve. We're on this side of how we should live or where we should live or what we're supposed to do. You know, we are certainly bombarded with a ever-growing influx of social constructs of how we should live our lives and what we deserve in our lives, right? I mean, I have also found in my journey that kindness certainly returns itself and karma will find you. If you are that vindictive person that's looking out to take care of yourself because it's, well, what you think you deserve, I promise you life will quickly turn around and serve you a different dish of it doesn't give a shit. And, well, that's the true part, right? Again, to bring Ellis back up, life isn't fair if we're walking around. I used to ask that question that I learned from Ellis and when I was practicing as a counselor, right? Do you believe life is fair? Do you believe people should treat you fairly? If the answers to those are yes, then I would tell you two of your core beliefs are certainly based in something irrational, because people shouldn't have to do anything and we shouldn't even expect those, right? Almost to expect the other side. You know, we could bring in some stoicism here and say to expect any of those is actually the issue that we have. But to live without the expectation of self and others and find ourselves somewhere in that midline of humming, probably minus emotion of just this way of life, as stoicism gets hit to believe with, right? You know, another philosophy that's fun to study. I even did that for a while. Take on these philosophies, try that for a while, try this for a while. Beneath so much of our cognitive performance, right? We are such trial and error species, basically learning from the worst experiences, hopefully after the first, second, fifth, or tenth time, right? And the idea of treating other people the way you want to be treated, I don't like saying there's a rationality to that, right? But maybe to treat others kindly. And maybe that helps you treat yourself that way, because karma will kick you in the ass. And I'm just going to reveal some stuff, right? And it's amazing how much I have also learned that I hate to reference it as two personalities or as two people, but truly we are ever changing, right? The only fact we really know is that we are constantly changing. So to be that authentic self would really be to live in that constant state of change and accepting that constant state of change and not this who we are method, right? This is just who I am, right? We do know change. The tribe of change knows all about that. So I will refer to it as two personalities, if you will, although I would tell you it can change a lot over our lifetimes because we grow and morph and change. And I have referenced way too often in on this podcast about kind of the lifestyle I used to lead, right? I was just a bad guy, but not really. I was doing bad things and it was crushing my heart. It was turning me. It truly was. And well, now, a lot of times it's hard when those two become in conflict, when either I am disrespected in some fashion or someone I love is aggressively spoken to in a way, right? Or talked to as a sex object by some 80-year-old, which happened, right? What do you do there? It's like fighting a girl. You lose either way here. You know that, well, it starts to cross over. There's things that I wouldn't take because it's, well, not what I deserve. And that conflict has, it can really weigh on you when you're lost in that toil of your response to something. And, you know, just to be transparent, we were moving and we were supposed to move into this house yesterday, afternoon, morning, right? We're supposed to, paid the money we're supposed to, right? Did everything. I love Bill Burr's like, no, I gave you all the money. You make all the sandwich, right? This is how this works. So we had the money, everything signed and perfect. And well, they, individuals that were living in the house prior, well, just took it upon themselves to just stay a little longer. And frankly, we were in a hotel last night, right? And the gentleman, let's just say, he slipped up a little bit at the tongue talking to my lady. And I let that slide because she handles herself rather sternly. No worries there. And she rarely needs that. But I live on these principles, right? These old school principles. And I tell you what, I sat and allowed this dude to affect me, because then later I had to call him by his full name on the phone and ask him to kindly leave the premises. And as that did happen eventually, right, the night of. But anyway, I stewed on it. I sat on it. I allowed it to control me, right? And as my two philosophies conflicted, where I said, man, you have to hit him on general principle here. Just on sheer principle, someone needs to be smacked, right? This is this old frame of mind. And I'm like, what? Come on, man. You know, we don't do this anymore unless, you know, your life's in danger, right? So I allowed that to attack me for a couple hours yesterday. And how much that weighed on my biology, how much it weighed on my mindset, my physical body itself, right? It was distraught and thoughts were left field and right field until I, you know, finally just kind of came up off it and let it go and realized that, you know, he'll get what he deserves in some fashion, right? But perhaps even hoping that is an expectation of negativity. But, you know, I was just happy I didn't have to go to jail and call my old bail bondsman, right? So anyway, I didn't respond, and I'm telling you this story because you may face those conflicts in your philosophies daily on how you choose to live your life and maybe have changed your life And when old things like that question old principles, and old principles and philosophies we've let go, perhaps, or maybe new philosophies you've adapted, such as, I know what I deserve and what treatment I'll have, and people should be fair to me, right? These irrational thoughts. I share that to you because that I'm sure you experience yourself. So I have constantly lived transparent on this podcast about my experiences, my failures, successes, you know, my results, if you will, coming back from certain lives and thoughts choices and philosophies, right? I mean, I believe the idea of being open to philosophies and change in life is what makes people unique, is the ability we can do that and question them. But anyway, so a wonderful friend hooked us up, Marriott Beachside, so I'm not arguing whatsoever. Big shout out to Spring Hill Suites, right? They hooked us up out there beachside, and, you know, the night ended all right. I was still physically affected later on by, I think, how much I allowed that to overcome my thoughts, right, and question my own beliefs of what I deserve and who I am or what I'm supposed to do. Well, long story short, by the time we got in the house, things got straightened out. We got a whole lot of awesome things that worked out for us, and, well, he got stuck with the bill. And I couldn't help but laugh on the porch with Patricia and say, well, I guess you do get what you deserve, especially when you're not kind to others in your path and believe yourself to be the only one, well, existing or that needs to be treated in some fashion. And quickly we did find ourselves going, well, how much more can we get him to pay to add it here? And I had to stop and say, now we're just being just as vindictive on the other side, right? And you have to catch that and bring it back and reel it in some, you know? I mean, forget that I was homeless for 24 hours and had loaded up, had to pay extra money here, extra money there, took a loss for $1,100 on the other end here, right? Forget all those things, right? And just continue with your life. So questioning those philosophies is difficult as we face them in whatever journey we take or AKA choices we make. You know, a lot of times I hear some alpha males a lot of times talking about how they wish they could be warriors and yield swords and ride horses or save the princess. I often too have found myself there as well. But in the world that we live in today, I have discovered that we make choices of career and where we choose to live and who we choose to live our lives with that become the journey itself. And perhaps the sword that we swing is really the people that we help and the kindness that we can spread and the good karma we can pay forward. Perhaps that is the sword we are all should swing. I hate to say should because I'm enforcing that, but perhaps that's at least the sword of today and the choices that we make that create this journey that we're on by those choices, right? And maybe the princess we save is the person we fall in love with, or perhaps the person inside of you that needs saving from some high up mental tower locked away that we have to free in some method. And as we have switched from a less physically involved and combative, well, society as a whole, I wouldn't say it as far as sports that we watch, but as a whole, we've had to, and I think life would just have to switch to the internal battle, right? The internal battle still connected to the behavior and actions that we choose. And this becomes the new battleground, if you will, perhaps the emergence of mental health disorders, as we like to group symptoms into, to call them something, perhaps just all human experiences at one way or another on different levels. But I like to think of it like that. I like to think of those weapons we swing in the battlefields that we sit in are our own minds, our own proximities. And these are the things that we can affect. These are the things that we can choose to lash out and respond violently as if we really are on a battlefield and, well, wind yourself up with those choices and a whole lot of different kind of hell, rather than just in the Marriott by the beach. Or we can choose not to and put those physicalities and swords away and pass it off with kindness and let it just be. As Leo liked to tell me, is let it be. A lot of times I certainly find that cover is better than running onto the battlefield firing your machine gun because you tend to live. And for those of you that are out there on that battlefield, of your own mind, of choices, of other people's lives, You know, I'd urge you to swing that sword of kindness in some sense and to maybe let it go and let it be and offer a little bit of forward push of kindness into the world for someone else. And perhaps doing that without expectations of that returned kindness and love, because if we do believe life to be fair and people should treat us fairly, then we are living by some irrational beliefs, most certainly. But be aware of the choices that you make, because those choices that you make are the steps that you take, they're the stones of your path, man, to stay metaphorically poetic for a moment. And you have the freedom to make those choices. Some of us do, and keep in mind that some of us don't, that some people in the world do not have the freedoms that we are able to share in the United States over here. To an extent, there are certainly other countries with massive amounts of freedom, right? We're not the only ones, but if you happen to be that person, remember those that may cannot, and how bad it may get, whether you have to stay in a hotel or you're homeless for a minute. It's not worth regressing to some old philosophy that perhaps your beginning primate developed along the way. That change is truly uncomfortable, and at times can be, well, destructive. It can be debilitating to you physically. And if you sit in that toil of the old philosophies and the new and what I'm supposed to do or should do, it can break you down physically. It certainly can. I've discovered that along my path, at least I know. And maybe you've been there too. You know, the word ego jumps out at me, and I hear it often. It's a trendy word now sometimes. The ego, the id, they're still pulling from Sigmund Freud. Shout out to you, Freud. I think you're a trench runner, if you ask me. You had to be nuts to say the things that you did back then. But still pulling from this idea of ego, and it becomes something, right? We create a word and give it some meaning, and then for the most part, it becomes something, which again is another fascinating thing that we do as a species, that we can create a word that, well, create letters that put together to make a sound that then create a word out of something that we can add multiple definitions to and say there's research and call it something, but understand, and it take hold socially like that and grab a hold to where it defines people's lives or behaviors, right? And there's almost no evidence about the ego. It was a thing and a construct created by Freud to help prove his theories and study some things, just like the idea of stress, that stress is not a thing until it was labeled a thing, and then we now have this thing. But the idea of ego is being, well, a concept, an idea. You understand it as this definition, right? That's how we begin to learn it, of its definition. So then it must be a thing. And Albert Ellis, again, would call that masturbation, that it must be a thing because yet we have created it and it is now something, right? The idea of ego. And if you download that, it can certainly become a thing that influences your lives, whether you're thinking about it or not thinking about it, right? And certainly have its effect. But the idea of ego, there's been no research. The same idea as the subconscious, because if you thought of something that you thought was in your subconscious and said it consciously, then that was now in the conscious and no longer subconscious. So the idea of subconscious is another thing that kind of went through Freudian's hands as well, that, well, doesn't have much research to it, but if we believe these terms and download them, they can become reality. I talk about the ego when it comes into it because the ego is linked, at least in the research, in the literature, if you choose to read it, that would simply tell you that, right, the ego thinks only of itself and what it deserves. And I think we have to question all of that, live somewhere in that oblique gray, or the obsolete gray, or the obtruse, right? To live somewhere there perhaps is it, right? This weighing back and forth, the walking conundrum, as I've defined myself more than once, and ride both sides of the lightning, whether it's the rambling or the roots or whatever construct you pick up on, right? Because I'm no one to tell anyone what would make you happy, but I can certainly tell you what I've experienced that has made me happy, and more than likely, I can point out some things that will make you unhappy. As you can too, but don't forget either too, right? If we shed the ego so much, as many Buddhists would love to tell you, is to shed the ego and to just be, and that we are nothing. And well, that can take a lot of people to depression, another word we love to create, but it can take a feeling of worthlessness there, right? Because we think it to be. So shedding that ego is the other side. Again, it's the two-step, right? We can use the ego to say, hey, I don't deserve that, or I can do better than that, as we may tell ourselves, to feed that ego. And, well, we can take that too far, to where we now don't pay attention to others, right? We only feed ourselves, and it goes too far. Again, it's that fine line between something, this perfect balance we try to achieve. And balance is another one of those words, right? Balance. Show me a meter that can read how you balance your life, right? How do you balance it all out perfectly? This is, again, an abstract term. I guess this impromptu podcast is kind of talking about how there is no perfect life, as my mother loves to tell me in some sense. But you may be preaching yourself, Mom. I love you. You do. But that two-sidedness, right? The idea of, well, if you put kindness out there, kindness will return. I believe that. Perhaps that happens because I believe it. And if you put angry out there, angry will return. You can put ego out there to bring yourself from the ashes and rise like the phoenix, or you can play it too far and find yourself alone believing everybody else is fucked up. Conscious and subconscious, splitting those, the goods and the bads, social connection, having roots, or rambling, or doing a little bit of both, maybe, is what somebody would say. I know there's enough research on there that most people like to take that size medium. That's why we, as a whole, created the idea of that. They always try to sell you the middle. We tend to go there because we don't want to be too far and get the large, right? And, well, I deserve a little more than a small, so I'll take the medium road. Anybody in sales knows the basics would tell you always have at least three options of whatever it is you're selling, and price the middle one to be beneficial to yourself, because we like to go that middle of the road, that balance, that in between of enough ego to make sure that we love ourselves, but not too much ego to where we love ourselves too much. We can ramble, but not ramble too much. I like my roots, but only for a little time. The only thing is that roots tend to last forever, and when you sever roots, it can be quite painful to remove that. I can promise you that in my own experience, but I wish many times we could sit here and share each other's experiences, you know, and there's a couple here, a couple I'm actually visiting. I don't know where I was wrapping it up to, but Jason Wright, we deserve love from ourselves. I like that, Jason. Perhaps we do deserve love from ourselves, but I can tell you, Jason, I have made decisions in my life that make it difficult to love myself, even if it's just for a day or for a couple hours or for a few years. And, well, because I would technically be ashamed of some of my behavior, right? But I feel you, Jason, right? We deserve love from ourselves, but I don't know. Maybe we don't. Maybe we're assholes. Maybe somebody's just a prick. You know what I mean? I deserve a participation trophy. There you go, Matt Hugh. Yeah, we deserve that, of course, man. Tim Drugan, my boy, always chiming in, man. Rambling Roots. There you go. Carlos Hernandez, man. The not so little brother of one of my best friends, Juan Hernandez. Good to see you, man. Good for hanging out there. My boy Timmy's out of there by you. Perspective, baby. Yeah, I would agree with you. I would certainly agree with you on that one. Is that your moving shirt, Adam? Yeah. Well, I wear that shirt because I've been moving all day. I've been moving, sweating, and I tend to wear shirts that I don't care if they get messed up or not when I'm doing that. So, yeah, definitely. Hey, man, and I'll be honest, man, you know, FP's got some decent stuff, right? You know, I did write about the guy. I'm trying to give you a little light here, man. Not that you want to see my face, but you see the little glowing thing there. Yeah, Jeremy chiming back in. God, I believe, says, up with the pride and humble yourself, for sure. And I can tell you this, man. Hold on, Jason. I like that. Perhaps ego equals separated self. It might. I would like to see the research on self also as well, right? Hey, thanks for joining there, Andrew DK, Jennifer Summers. Good to see you. Another Tribe of Change member, Sasha JR. Welcome to the Cognitive Rampage, this impromptu. Steve Stone, you know I was going to read yours, brother. Always insightful. I can tell you there was many times to where I was so set in a mindset. I mean, Steve was around when I was writing the first edition of the book and when we did the very first podcast. And there's sometimes he'd chime in when I just couldn't see straight or couldn't find nothing, and Steve would lay one on me. So I hope you perform now, man, before I read it. Yeah, you got the intro. Steve Stone, know yourself and love others greater than you love yourself. And you won't care about what you think you deserve. You'll be living the best you, aka your cognitive rampage. Well defined, Steve. I like that. Know yourself is something that I also hear a lot too, is the know yourself, but I'm gonna just throw this one out there. How do we know ourselves if we know ourselves is constantly in change, right? I guess we can know our tendencies and break it down to the details, but perhaps I stay away from the details because I heard the devil's in it, right? Adam Lauer and the Sword of Kindness. Your trip, Tim. Hey, everybody check out Tim Drugan's new page too, by the way. He's doing some cool things. For those of you that are working, you know, physical labor jobs and putting in your 40, 50 hours for the fam or yourself, Tim Drugan's doing some cool stuff, showing you some ways to take care of you. And anything that's helping you take care of you, I think is anything I will support and spread for sure. Nicole Kelly White, welcome, to the show too, and thanks for watching and being a part of it a long time. I think we were even elementary school together. We go back there, Nicole. Wow, that's some old faces to see, man. Carlos, man, good to see you all. You know, I'll tell you now that people come back, right? So I'll be honest, I can't tell you how many people that I ran into later that I maybe haven't seen since high school or something, that maybe see that I'm well, trying to help others, but you know, I am helping myself by doing these podcasts. Truly too, but and they're like, you know, you are such an asshole. I'm telling you, there's some times where I'm like, I think I was an asshole, my God, you know. And people are looking at me like, I can't believe you're doing this, you know, I can't believe it. I'm like, man, how bad was I didn't realize, you know. So for any people out there, I was an asshole too. I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to. Well, perhaps I did, I guess, you know. I guess, do we mean it at the time, right? Does that even mean something? If you're mean to someone, that's too many means. If you're mean to somebody and you're like, hey, you know, I didn't mean to. I think you did. I think when you're doing it at the time, that's exactly what you meant to do, right? But it sounds good. We're like, I didn't mean to say that to you. Yeah, you did. I think you did. I think that was the whole plan from the beginning of your first belief that then triggered the thought that then made you feel the way that you felt, you know. But I mean, it's wild. Life can be, right? It's amazing when we look at both sides. And I can tell you, oh, the humbleness, right? That's what I was going to for Jason's comment took me off there. The idea of humbleness, right? I write about that in the beginning of the book. It's actually one of the three principles of change that I open the book with. H equals C, that humility equals competence. And that when we can become humble, we can become competent, right? Because we're now open. We're easily coached, someone might say, for the sports reference for people nowadays, right? But when we can humble ourselves, we're able to get competent. And I also say in the book that when we're humble, we can become self-competent. And in self-competence, we can spark some actual confidence, right? Or back to Steve, right? Know yourself, as you said. And I can tell you there's another side to that too, that if you humble yourself so much, well, it's hard to trust yourself so much because you say, well, I know I'm not the smartest, so I should listen. Makes you easily coachable and gains competence, seriously, especially self-awareness along the way. Humility brings self-awareness. But if we also take that too far to where we humble ourselves so much, when you begin to ask yourself about making a career change or a relationship, a commitment even, or whatever it is you may be thinking about, or a new plan you have, an entrepreneurial idea, or just a page or a talk you want to give, right? Or something like that. If we begin to say that, hey, I don't know that much, I don't know anything really, and we play that and we use that. Now, if you're in the bottom of some depths of your life of a hole, right, start there, right? Question those things, right? Your narrative is only what you create, no truth, et cetera, I've said many times. But if we're looking to optimize, keep the open humility, definitely, because this gains competence. This allows you to learn and learn yourself or begin to know oneself. And I will tell you, you'll begin to learn that you do change, because anything not changing or growing is thus dead, right? But you have to be careful of that humility. That if we take it too far, trusting ourselves, our decisions, the choices we've made, these things can be difficult to hold on to. You know, there's even two sides to that. You know, this is perhaps the conundrum podcast is what this is called. And pointing out those conundrums is if we just live humble in ourselves and kind to other people, well, do we become the doormat? Do we not succeed or whatever success is to you, right? Do we not accomplish or experience? To me, experience is the succeeding, not necessarily the outcome. I talk so often that all we do in this culture here is tend to prey upon the outcome, whatever the results are, and that's all we have, right? If you're not first, you're last, if you will, to quote the infamous Ricky Bobby, right? That we look at the results based as being the success or the gain or the goal, as opposed to the experience. I choose to look at success as being the experience. And, you know, my boy Vaughn, too, big shout out to you. He's been back in my life lately, man. Known him 14 years and call him out of nowhere a couple of years, said, hey, man, I got a security gig for you. You know, he called me, I was like, what? You're announcing a NASCAR race? What are you do? What? I said, I know, man. I don't know. I find myself in these places and I find myself in these, well, they've been gifts. I look at them as gifts, right? And, you know, making those choices to get there, right? To just try this and create those experiences to shape that. You know, you got to trust yourself in certain times, right? And trust yourself. And it's difficult, the conundrums, right? If we take one meme and play it too far, be that humility, be that ego, be that, well, find some roots, right? Be that love, be that rambling, be that career, be that humility, be that our life philosophies, be that yourself, saying the ever concrete phrase, this is just who I am. Right, we're no longer growing, that there's so many, the two-step, there's two sides, right? And again, the balance. People love to say that's the answer to it, right? Well, you have to balance, right? Everything in moderation, including moderation, right? Well, balance moderation for me, and balance moderation of moderation for me, right? And what constructs are we using to shape those in, you know? It's a wild world that we live in, as Jim Croce once sang about, right? Yeah, it's my moving shirt, Tim. Yeah, I'm going back and forth, a little new thing on the Cognitive Rampage, especially if it's impromptu. Yeah, definitely. Alvin, man, what's up, man? Alvin, my boy. You still use that word mentor, Alvin, and I'm not worthy of all that, brother. I mean, I appreciate it that you think so, man, but we learn from each other, I guess. I think you're just being nice personally, but, yeah. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining, all the love that you share as well, too. And I hope you and the family are all doing okay, man. What's up, Matt Just? Welcome to the show, too, man. Mind you, all of this gets pushed to iTunes as well. I still got to post Tony Wright's podcast. My God. I was trying to explain Tony Wright's theory, which I'm about 80% leaning on. I was trying to explain that to somebody the other night at a friend's house. And I'm like, this is going to take forever. And it just comes out. Not, but my mind is still tripped out about that podcast. So if you go back and listen to Tony Wright's theory, it's on YouTube right now. I didn't do Facebook Live, but all this is on iTunes. I'll post that to iTunes soon. But that dude's out there for 20 years of focusing on. I think he's really on to it. I do. It's at least worth, you know, looking at, you know. And welcome to the show too, Randy Harrison. Hope you're taking care of you too. We've been talking about the conundrums of life, I guess. I didn't mean to go that way, but the conundrums that we face, you know, ego, kindness to others, karma that we put out there, what we deserve, right? Thinking what we deserve. I don't deserve this. I definitely deserve that. Says who? Yourself, right? Knowing yourself, walking through all those conundrums of can we know ourselves if we're actually constantly changing, if we are influenced from every, well, I say every, that would be irrational. If we are influenced from multiple sides, right? Biology, experiences, behavior, environments, what we think, what we choose to believe, the constructs, other people, how we're raised, right? If all these things are constantly changing who we are, what we believe, then knowing thyself may be chasing our own tail and lost in it. Even humility, we talked about how humility, yeah, it sounds good, right? I even talk about it's a huge principle to change, that humility brings competence. But can we go so far to where we're humble in everything that we, well, don't trust ourselves or become a doormat in certain ways, right? Or then accept whatever it is we think we deserve. And, you know, That's another, actually, Leoism that I quote in the book, right? We accept the love we think we deserve. Do we do that? I love that line. That's why I used it in the book. Leo would tell me that. We choose to accept the love we think we deserve. Whatever it is you think you deserve is typically the love that we will accept. Welcome to the show, too, Johnny Vieira. Oh, man, I've dumped out this one. I want to talk about most of those words to kind of bring it up, but looks like I'm having some technical difficulties spreading right here. So it's asking me to reload sites and things. So I'm going to let it ride right here. It's been fun impromptu. It's went dark on me in the podcast room too. So not worth watching, really. I can tell you that. It's better. Maybe it's better to watch that way. Who knows, right? But I encourage you to go out and make some choices, aka create opportunities. You create opportunities with the choices that you make. That thus unfolds your path in each stone, not just a meme. Make the choices, because that is the battlefield, the mental side. Be aware of the conundrums. Balance it if you can. And if you find a way to somehow measure balance, well, then tell me how. I hope you're taking care of you. I hope you live in your cognitive rampage.